And now for the scripture readings this morning. Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, which can be found on page 821 in your pew Bible. At that time you will say, "I thank you, Lord. You were angry with me, but you stopped being angry and gave me comfort. I trust you to save me, Lord God, and I won't be afraid. My power and my strength come from you, and you have saved me. With great joy, you people will get water from the well of victory. And at that time you will say, 'O Lord, we are thankful and we worship only you. We tell the nations how glorious you are and what you have done. Because of your wonderful deeds, we will sing your praises everywhere on earth.' Sing, people of Zion. Celebrate the greatness of the Holy Lord of Israel. God is here to help you." And now from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes. But I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. He will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, 'Will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear?' Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today."
Title of my sermon today is "The Gift That Keeps on Giving." In doing research for today's sermon, I Googled "The Gift That Keeps on Giving." As you know, Abe Lincoln says you can find anything you want on the internet. I found out that it had been used in many commercials over the years. It has been used to sell Mother's Day gifts, Father's Day gifts, subscriptions to Sports Illustrated, and Gift of the Month subscriptions, just to name a few. A search of the United States Patent and Trademark Database, however, reveals the first trademark use for commercial purposes goes to the first talking machines, that is, phonographs, RCA Victor, back in 1925. For those of you a little on the younger side, the phonograph played the vinyl records, the forerunner to CDs, and they're now making somewhat of a comeback. The gift that keeps on giving is meant to invoke feelings people get when they receive a present. Any present that gives that feeling over and over, such as receiving a magazine every month, would be better than a gift that only provides that feeling once. The thought for my talk today actually began when Pastor Jenny did her Advent series last November and December about the gift. More specifically, the perfect gift, which she talked about on November 29th and 30th and December 13th and 14th. Seems God, like he always does, was giving a gift to me in connection to what Jenny was talking about. First, she talked in that anticipation of the perfect gift. That is, this is what Jenny wrote about anticipating the perfect gift. "Jesus is the most anticipated this year. Jesus is hope. Jesus is peace. He is love. He is forgiveness. He is our God incarnate, God in the flesh. These are the very elements of the gift that keeps on giving. the elements we need to think about not only at Christmas, but all through the year, and in fact, all of our lives. For these are the gifts God gave us through the birth of His Son, Jesus. Let me tell you about someone I will call Joe. Joe was the firstborn in a dysfunctional family. A family, it seems, that had no real Christian foundation. A family where children were taken to Sunday school and church, and the parents were not involved. Not involved, that is, except at Christmas and Easter. Eventually, Joe was baptized at the age of 10. He did go on to be confirmed and was involved in both youth groups and church choir. After high school, he pretty much followed his parents' example. That is, never attending church or giving the Lord much thought at all. But little did he know that the gift given to him during the years between his baptism and his high school graduation would be there all the time. Going back to Pastor Jenny's sermons for Advent season 2014, on December 13th and 14th, she did a sermon on questioning the gift. If you remember, she used scripture from 1 John 1, verses 19 through 28, which reads as follows. The leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and temple helpers to ask John who he was. He told them plainly, "I am not the Messiah." Then they asked him if he were Elijah, and he said, "No, I am not." And when they asked him if he were the prophet, he also said, "No." Finally, they asked, "Who are you then? We have to give an answer to the one who sent us. Tell us who you are." John answered in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am only someone shouting in the desert. Get the road ready for the Lord." Some Pharisees had also been sent to John. They asked him, "Why are you baptizing people if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John told him, "I use water to baptize people, but here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I'm not good enough to untie his sandals." John said this as he was baptizing east of the Jordan River in Bethany. This scripture left the priests and temple helpers, as well as the Pharisees, questioning who John was. "Tell us who you are." But John did not reply until verse 29, which reads, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" My friends, I fear we are much like the priests, temple helpers, and Pharisees. That is, we question and doubt that we have received a gift from the Lord. A gift that if we let it enter our hearts and lives, will continue until the day we die. Human nature, I guess, is much like Thomas, who doubted that Thomas had died, Jesus had died and was resurrected. But he did believe once Jesus came to him and proved his resurrection. We all need to have Christ, through the Holy Spirit, come to us in our lives. If we only but believe and have our hearts and minds open, we will see the gift given to us. We will feel it, and we will come to live it. The gift that keeps on giving can be given to us as a spiritual gift, taking the place of things of mankind. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 reads, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. The Spirit has given each a special way of serving others. Some speak with wisdom, while others can speak with knowledge, but these gifts come from the same Spirit. To others, the Spirit has given great faith or the power to heal the sick or the power to work mighty miracles. Some of us are prophets, and some of us recognize when God's Spirit is present. Others can speak different kinds of languages, and still others can tell what these languages mean. But it is the Spirit who does all this and decides what to give each of us." Let me repeat the last sentence. "But it is the Spirit who does all this and decides what to give each of us." Let's go back to Job for a moment. As I said, he didn't give much attention to God and wasn't churched at all. Seems he just bounced from one church to another with little or no connection to the churches or God for that matter. Ultimately, this was hard on his wife and family, but being raised by the parents he had, he was unaware of doing anything different. Pastor Jenny has just completed a 3-week series of sermons on the parables in the chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. God never ceases to amaze me. As I had decided some time ago when the thought for this sermon came to me, to include the prodigal son in my talk. In chapter 1 through 10 in Luke 15, we find the story of Jesus being friendly with sinners. His parables of the one lost sheep and the one lost coin simply reflect what can be done by the Spirit to reclaim the lost, the last, and the least of all of us. As verse 7 states, Jesus said in the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because one sinner turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to. Once again, we see the gift that keeps on giving at work. In chapters 11 through 32 of Luke 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. The son who spent everything on living it up and having a good time. The son who eventually had little or nothing to eat. The son who would have eaten what the pigs he was taking care of were eating. Chapter 17 states, finally he came to his senses and said, my father's workers have plenty to eat and I am starving to death. Once again, we have the gift that keeps on giving at work here. The prodigal son decided to return home after realizing he had sinned against God and his own father. Upon his return, his father decided to kill his best calf and have a celebration in honor of his return. This, however, infuriated the older son who refused to celebrate his brother's return. The father resolved things by saying that his older son would always be with him and that everything he had was his. But then he added, but we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found. This is exactly what the gift that keeps on giving does. It is alive and well among us, continuing to do its job of reclaiming the lost, the last, and the least among us. The death of Jesus does not stop the gift that keeps on giving. In fact, it is through his death and resurrection that the gift continues to come to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the gift of his life that we would also have the gifts of his grace, his forgiveness, and the gift of eternal life. In Philippians, we find Paul writing from jail a letter of thanks to the church at Philippi for helping him with the gifts and prayers. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 16 states, all I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer as he did so that somehow I may be raised to life. I have not reached my goal and am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I've already arrived. But I forget what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. All of us who are mature should think in this same way. And if any of you think differently, God will make it clear to you. But we must keep going in the direction we are now headed. Clearly here we see the perfect gift given us in the birth of Jesus Christ, who when he takes hold of us will by the continued giving of the gift of himself help us to forge ahead. There is also a warning that if we don't follow God and his ways, there will be consequences. Clearly we need to follow God's ways faithfully to claim the prize of eternal life. Going back to Job one last time, we find he was just going along living the way he thought best. But little did he know, God had other plans for him. His wife finally gave up on him and asked for a divorce. It was this major catastrophic event in his life that would start a chain of events that would completely turn his life around. Upon learning of the divorce, Joe was completely devastated and wasn't sure of what to do. But, as he always does, God stepped in with the gift that keeps on giving and gave Joe a way to better himself. By bettering himself through a self-help group, he became someone who once again loved himself and was able to share this love with others and help others to love themselves. Once again, we have the gift that keeps on giving coming to play, as this is directly follows Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, which reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment. The second important commandment is like this one, and it is love others as much as you love yourself." By becoming deeply involved in the self-help group, Joe regained his confidence. With the newly gained confidence and the help of the Lord through a special pastor, he felt very deeply the calling of God. Following his call from the Spirit, or the gift that keeps on giving, he became deeply involved in his church and continues to heed his calling. He is not sure where this is all leading, but as the hymn says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." Incidentally, the reason I know so much about Joe is because I am actually Joe. So, my friends, you can see that the gift that keeps on giving can be real effective in your life if you just listen when God calls. Let me read again the verses from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I will be reading from the Good News Bible, which happens to be my favorite translation. "This is why I tell you, do not be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seeds, gather a harvest, and put it in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? And why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the fire. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So do not start worrying, where will my food come, or my drink, or my clothes? These are the things the pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings." Last night I mentioned that I would probably want that on my tombstone, and some people here picked up on it and said, "You're going to have a great big headstone, aren't you?" Actually, what I wanted was just a reference to it. It's become what probably the verse that I want to live by. I remember understanding this passage for the first time as I read it to others in the self-help group I mentioned. It struck me then, and still does, that God will provide if we just have the faith to know that he will provide. Maybe not in the way or the time we would like, but he will take care of us. Oh yes, my friends, this is truly the gift that keeps on giving. In closing, let me read something to you written by our 7-year-old granddaughter, which I feel expresses very clearly what I'm trying to say here today. It's entitled, "I Love God." God created all of us. He cares about us all. He made everyone, even in China. Everyone loves God. We all love God. He is our Lord. We care, we share, and we love God. We know Him as our Father. He is joy. When we pray, it is a message. If someone is hurt, God is there to help. Always, He loves us all. He'll take care of everyone. If we're hurt and we love Him, He'll love us all, even if we're mean. He'll be there for us all. To that, I can only add an amen.